The world remembers, and today the tears of many will fall.
Tears of resentment for a life that was stolen, and the love once given so freely can never be given again.
Tears of anger for a life that was stolen, and the dreams of what might have been can never be fulfilled.
Tears of regret for a life that was stolen, and a youth and vitality were halted, and energy and passion were stilled, and now remain silenced forever.
Tears of pride for a life that was given, in a brave act of sacrifice, in a courageous deed of compassion, in a deliberate act of selflessness.
And so, in the remembering with resentment, with anger, with regret, and with pride, are all these tears and all this pain and all the hurting.
But for us here, the people of God, we who have come on this day not only to remember, but first and foremost to worship the God of peace, this is also a day for thanksgiving and gratitude.
But not thanksgiving for victory in battle, or triumph over those who are also God's precious children, nor gratitude for might and force and strength.
This is a day for heartfelt praise and thanks to God that war and conflict is not the only way, that God has provided an alternative to humanity's weak and futile attempts to live as one, that God's Son Jesus has shown us another way, that God's own way is the only true way to peace.
And we are here to pray that weapons of war are not put to use again, that terrible inventions of destruction and suffering are never more activated, that humanity will listen and hear the voice of heaven which says, "This is your way, this is a foolish way, this way is not mine." Amen.
We sing together. Hymn 715, "Behold the Mountain of the Lord."
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord, we come before you today to worship and magnify your name. Today we also remember those who have gone before. We remember the pain of loss suffered by so many, as we remember those who died that we might live in freedom. We remember today that the men in the trenches lived in appalling conditions and were often cold and wet and afraid. Those who were on board ships who were in constant fear from submarine and mine attacks. Those who had shell shock or lost limbs and never recovered but lived half lives. We remember the pain that those who just lost loved ones suffered. We lay all the pain at your feet, knowing that your love has conquered death. We take the freedom we have for granted. Help us to remember that we owe what we owe to these brave men and women who fought for our future. And help us to remember that we owe it to our children and their children to make the world a better place for them. Let us be thankful that our country is not at war, but to remember that a lot of people around the world are not so fortunate and live in misery and fear and know the pain of loss of their children to war. We remember them now in our prayers today. You preached your love when you were here on earth, a love for our fellow man, to love others as ourselves. And if everyone was to listen to your words in their hearts, then there would be no more war. Help us to be carriers of your message of love. Guide us in your paths. Let our hearts sing with joy at your name, and let us always be truly thankful for everything that we have. You made a beautiful world for us to live in. Help us to look after it and the people and creatures on it. Let our hearts be full of love, praise and thankfulness as we pray together in the words that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Our first reading is from Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose stream make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fail. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress."
May the words of my mouth and the reflections in all our hearts help us to be part of building the kingdom of peace. The psalm says to us, God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Such a clear affirmation from across the centuries of God always being here for us, always a present resource for us. And the psalm later on tells us that if we want to know and to really feel and experience that, then often we need to be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still. And one of the ways of being still is to literally be quiet. And that's what we will share in a few moments, or more like 10 minutes. Silence is one of the ways of being still. And the silence that we're going to share is to remember those who have given their lives. And I suggest to you, beyond that also, infusing our remembering with the stillness and the silence that is the living presence of God, who is holding all of this, who is present in and through and beyond our remembering. So I'm inviting you to consider today that in the silence we are holding a multifaceted silence. We will remember it as we go in. We will remember people we may have known, stories in our families, and beyond that to the so many affected by war. And I invite us to sense also, to see beyond that, that God is present in this, holding and sustaining and giving ongoing life to those who have sacrificed theirs in our world. God, the eternal present, and God who holds all the suffering. We have been looking in the last few weeks at things that Jesus said to his disciples not long before he knew he would leave them. And one of the themes that recurs in these several stories is that he keeps asking them to look and see things, and look again and see more. And I suggest to you that the practice of silence is one of the ways we do this kind of seeing, seeing more than just what's immediately on the surface of things when we look at them. And seeing that in and through and all our human mess and muddle and indeed violence, God is present. So some of us looked at the story where Jesus is asked what's the most important commandment, and he simply repeats the prayer that is said by Jewish people every day, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only God. Hear." Implying listening, implying in some ways silence. And what Jesus does, he takes that prayer and he expands it. He says, this means love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. And the second is like it, or flows out of it, your neighbor as yourself. So this silence, as we step into the silence, connects us not only with the love of people who have given their lives for us, it's also part of our loving and knowing that presence of God who embraces all the people that we remember and embraces our enemies, embraces their loss, the loss of their loved ones, embraces the fathers and mothers and sisters and brothers and wives and husbands and children. God is one. God is their God as well as our God, even if their names and ways of worshipping God is different from ours. And this is a profound and such a well-known truth and yet still so hard for us as human beings to live and to fully grasp. Perhaps particularly hard when we are touched or we hear of acts of terrorism or know of friends and family who are caught up in one of the many conflicts that are raging all over our world. And are we aware and are we thinking today also of the places where in the last year and a half more than 10,000 people have been killed? So you won't be surprised to know that Afghanistan is one of those places. Ethiopia is another. The one that was a surprise to me is Mexico, where the large number of people killed is due to the drug wars that there are there. And Yemen. And of course, in the years before, but not so many actually in that past year in Syria. So if we are being asked to look again and look again, here are a couple of other things we might consider embracing as well as the people. We might take seriously that certainly in Yemen, and maybe in these other contexts too, a vast amount of the arms being used are manufactured here in this country. So are we willing to take into that silence not only those who are killed, but what is that makes them, what actually enables them to be killed? That our country allows a vast amount of manufacture of arms. And yes, other countries too, but does that make it any better or any worse? Wars are enabled and maintained by weapons and supply of weapons. And maybe in the light of COP26, we are asked to listen and see and notice in our silence that land is also laid waste and devastated. The obvious crops are destroyed, but also stability that allows planting and reaping of harvest is often disrupted and taken away from people. And we have heard more and more about bombs and mines that are left in land, making it hard for those who want to begin again. So are we also seeing and are we also hearing the cries of the earth alongside the cries of heartbreak of those whose livelihood and survival is robbed when land becomes the location of devastation? And let's not forget that when that happens, the effects on the land are also quite long term. Very often when the land is devastated, it takes many years. It does recover, but it takes time. And very often in that kind of period, you get water running over land and leaching of the nutrients. So the potential of the future of the land, too, is also devastated. Violence starts in the hearts of people. And it ripples out to other people, to men and women and children beyond the land, and robs them of their home and their food and their means of survival. So I'm asking and inviting us today, when we come to the time of the silence, to hold the peace of God as well that holds all that. To see and to sense that God holds all of this devastation, all of this human violence. And maybe it helps us, as I spoke last week about Jesus saying, leaving his disciples and saying, "My peace I give you, my peace I leave you." And as I mentioned last week, because I was kind of excited about hearing this, there's actually more nuance in those words than we get in the normal English translation. It literally means, "My peace I release to you." And I don't know what that evokes to you, but that sense of peace being released to us feels like a kind of wave that keeps coming. It conjures up for me a sense of peace that flows, and a peace that's always present and flowing towards us. And the second phrase that's normally translated, "My peace, I leave you," has a construction that we don't have in English, and which I've been told is best translated, "My peace, I am loving towards you." My peace, I am loving towards you. And I'm not sure what that evokes for you. That, for me, gives me a sense of the peace that is coming in waves, surrounds and embraces us and holds us eternally. So can we, in this time, in this remembrance service, as we move towards it, manage both to remember the loss and the sacrifice, and beyond that, the embrace of God holding together all this trauma and distress that human beings inflict upon one another? Can we reach from within our hearts? Can we sense this peace that is flowing towards us? And can we both receive it and allow it to keep on flowing? Can we touch those wellsprings of peace and join with the love of Jesus and God, who are loving peace towards us? Amen. So as we move towards the time of silence, I'm going to read some of the prayers from the Book of Common Order. Let us remember the kindness of God and his favour to us in our time of need. And let us remember the courage and the devotion to duty and the self-sacrifice and the men and women in our armed forces, their toil and endurance and suffering, and the suffering of those who weren't in uniform, and the support of those who sent us help from afar or came and stood by our side. And let us remember those who were wounded in the fight and who perished in air raids at home and who fell in battle and are buried at sea or in some corner of a foreign field, and especially those whom we have known or loved or known about, whose place is forever in our hearts. And let us remember those who were our enemies, whose homes and hearts are as bereft as ours, whose dead lie also in the living tomb of each everlasting remembrance. And let us remember those who came back, those whose lives still bear the scars of war, those who've lost sight or limbs or reason, those who lost faith in God and in hope for humanity. And let us remember the continuing grace of God, who holds all souls in life and to whom none is dead, but all are alive forever. Jill and Elizabeth are going to read for us a piece about silence as we come into the silence.
In the silence, from the silence, the peace of God for those who take time to listen.
In the silence, from the silence, God's word of calm for those who in their remembering find only distress and regret.
In the silence from the silence, God's uncomfortable reproach for those who in their remembering cannot find it within themselves to forgive.
In the silence from the silence, God's smile of affirmation for those who are surprised to discover they feel little or nothing at all.
And in the silence and out of the silence, God's presence to encourage those who in their remembering know their grief is still very heavy and their suffering no less raw to bear.
A powerful active and happening silence then, not simply an empty space, a potential life-changing silence, not simply a sterile place.
A gentle silence, a disturbing silence, now carved out of our living and being. For here in the silence, out of the silence, God makes his peace with the people of earth.
Let us remember the sacrifice and the suffering, rejecting the way of war that leads to death, praising the way of God that leads to real and true living, praying the world will learn to live in peace with itself.
We're going to hear the last post, and I will then invite people at the right moment to stand. They shall grow not old, as we are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them.
When you go home, tell them of us and say, for your tomorrow, we gave our today.
Please be seated. And Judith is going to play for us the hymn 712, and the words will appear on the screen so you can use them like a prayer. So let's remain seated while we hear and see the words and feel them in our hearts. Let us hear some words of hope, two readings which come from chapters 10 and 11 in the book of Hebrews.
Every Jewish priest performs his services every day and offers the same sacrifices many times, but these sacrifices can never take away sins. Christ, however, offered one sacrifice for sins, an offering that is effective forever. And then he sat down at the right side of God. There he now waits until God puts his enemies as a footstool under his feet. With one sacrifice, then, he has made perfect forever those who are purified from sin. And the Holy Spirit also gives us his witness. First, he says, "This is the covenant that I will make with them. In the days to come, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts and write them on their minds." And then he says, "I will not remember their sins and evil deeds any longer." So when these have been forgiven, an offering to take away sins is no longer needed. We have then, my friends, complete freedom to go into the most holy place by means of the death of Jesus. He opened for us a new way, a living way, through the curtain, that is, through his own body. We have a great priest in charge of the house of God. So let us come near to God with a sincere heart and a sure faith, with hearts that have been purified from a guilty conscience, and with bodies washed with clean water. Let us hold on firmly to the hope we profess, because we can trust God to keep his promise. Let us be concerned for one another, to help one another, to show love and to do good. Let us not give up the habit of meeting together, as some are doing. Instead, let us encourage one another, and all the more since you see that the day of the Lord is coming nearer. Amen.
This is the covenant I will make with them in the days to come, says the Lord. I will put my law in their hearts and write it on their minds. I always like the translation that actually says hearts and guts, which is evidently implied in the translation from the Hebrew. Here is hope. This was the new covenant that was first articulated by Jeremiah. It's my favourite Bible verse. This hugely strong assurance that within every human being, God has placed the potential to understand and relate to the one who created us. I will put my law in their hearts and in their guts and write them on their minds. And in a sense, this is one of the foundational things that Jesus teaches. And it is implied in that maybe quite complicated reading we've just had from the book of Hebrews, saying that in and through Jesus' death and resurrection, no longer do we need a temple, but within each of us, God and Jesus has opened up a way. Excuse me. So Jesus, it has enabled for us to feel this reassurance that within ourselves, within our hearts, is a living temple. And that's what enables us to say, and enabled him to say to his disciples, "Look and keep looking. You have within you the potential to see more clearly how life really is." We all have access to this fountain of peace and love within us. We tend, when we're first growing up, quite naturally, to look outside to keep learning. And in the Indian tradition, they say very clearly that that's the focus for the first 20 years of life, is we're looking outward and learning from the culture and all of that before us. But the new covenant encourages us, what more the people have articulated with middle life crisis and things, the importance of looking inwards. The importance of learning also to keep looking inwards to find life. Looking inwards so that we get more inspiration and wisdom how to use the skills and abilities we've used and learnt in the earlier parts of our lives. And this, I think, is what Jesus was emphasizing when he was talking with his disciples before he left them. He said, "Keep on learning, keep on looking, and things you see, keep looking for them more. Keep on discovering that forgiveness is there, that it keeps flowing, that in and through his death and resurrection, he has reassured us of that and of an eternal life that is now." God, Jesus says, is a God of life and living and loving. And that focuses our task as human beings is to learn to live from this truth, not relying just on ourselves, but rather learning to do this kind of combination of learning to use our skills, but learning to look inwards to help us know how to use them and in what way to use them. It is also the Christian way to help us with things that we find difficult, things that make us feel angry or violent. God encourages us to look inwards and to work out where all of these emotions are coming from, to help and understand the energy that's underneath them, to see more clearly how to use it. So anger, for instance, usually arises when either we've been ignored, when we feel we should be included, or when somebody has stepped over boundaries. It is a kind of prevention for us, this anger. It's important. It has a function. But it's not necessarily meant to be acted out. Paul, when he says, "Do not let the sun go down in your anger," is affirming the same sort of pattern. Ponder what the anger is about. Look inwards. Find the energy for life underneath the irritation or anger that's there, because underneath there is life bubbling up. So we are called, in our own small ways, to be peacemakers, to learn to listen to things like anger or violent feelings or thoughts, and not give ourselves a hard time, but to try and understand better where they come from and how can we organise that flow of life so that it brings some resolution and some hope, and also helps us to stand up and be ourselves. Someone told me the story of meeting one of the main peacemakers between Israel and Palestine, an American who went there and has been working there for the past 40 years. And he is one of these people who would say, peacemaking is such an active process, we're all involved in it. And it requires commitment, it requires learning how to use these thoughts and feelings that might initially feel destructive. And he said that the greatest impediment to peacemaking was people feeling they are victims. He said, this is not true. Everyone can always do something. Everyone can take action. Everyone can find a way to express what matters to them. And there is many examples of that from the Second World War, and some of you may know of the work of Viktor Frankl, who particularly analysed and worked with people, particularly after the war, to understand those who managed to survive and saw how important it was for them to have some purpose and meaning and to know that they could control their own thoughts and feelings inside and not be completely dominated. I want to conclude with something that I think is very hopeful. I was listening to a scientist speak on Friday night. He's both a neuroscientist, a medical doctor, and a philosopher, one of these really brainy people that is very, very well read in all sorts of disciplines and was a university teacher. And he has been writing and seeking to understand better how human beings can live a more balanced life. His main thesis is that we have actually become too much focused on using our left brain, that is very analytical, and is always dividing things down. Whereas he said, as we use more of our right brain, we are more aware of everything, we're more united with everything. That's all rather complicated, so I don't want to go into that, but I want to talk about what he said he has really studied to look at what helps bring physical, mental, and emotional health and purpose and meaning to people. And he said, we have plenty of science that shows us there are three foundational things that make for living well. One is social cohesion, belonging to a community, having a group of people with whom you constantly encourage and meet. And if you noticed in that reading from Hebrews, that was part of the message of that, was meet together. Those of you who'd stopped meeting together, it said, meet together. Social coherence is part of what gives us strength. The second thing he articulated was connection with the natural world. Physical, literal connection, being out in nature, something that the whole pandemic has highlighted for us in many ways. And the third thing, and he said, this is the one he said people had told me, but I didn't really think there was evidence for it, spiritual belief or sense of purpose and meaning in life. And he said, when I really looked at it, this actually, the evidence is overwhelming. And so our faith tradition offers all of these: social cohesion, connection with nature, spiritual belief, and sense of purpose. Through all these three things, we touch that presence of the living God who holds us in fellowship, who unites us with the natural world, and who enables every single one of us, even if we think we can't do very much, our own inner thinking, our own inner feeling, we all have control. We are all able to contribute to the peace of our world. Amen. So let us in some way sing a hymn that I'm sure many of you like, which embodies and says some of that. Hymn 337, Will Your Anchor Hold? Let us pray. God of power and love, bless our country and Commonwealth. Give wisdom and strength to the Queen, and govern those who make the laws, and guide those who direct our common life. And grant that together we all may fulfil our service for the welfare of the whole people, and for your praise and glory. And bless our sailors and soldiers and airmen. Defend them in danger and give them courage to meet all occasions with discipline and loyalty. May they serve the cause of justice and peace. Bless our young people. May they never see the flames of war or know the depths of cruelty to which men and women can sink. Bless our friends and those who are our enemies, and those who suffered and are still suffering from war. And grant that your love may reach out to the wounded, the disabled, the mentally distressed, and those whose faith has been shaken. Comfort all who mourn the death of loved ones, and all who this day miss the companionship of friends. Bless those who are homeless, those who are refugees, thinking especially today of those on the border between Poland and Belarus, asking for wisdom for those seeking to help and political solutions. We pray for those who are hungry, those who've lost their livelihood or security, and we pledge ourselves to comfort and support and encourage others that all may live in a world where evil and poverty are done away with, and where human life reflects the radiance of your kingdom. And we pray for those who work for peace, who strive to improve international relations and who seek new ways of reconciling people of different race and colour and creed. And bless your church throughout the world. By your Holy Spirit, may the Church of Christ show visible unity and a sign of hope in a divided world. And may we work as instruments of your peace, bringing peace in our homes, our families, our nation, and our world. And we now rejoice in the communion of saints and remember those whom you have gathered from the storm of war into the peace of your presence, and give you thanks for those whom we have known and whose memory we treasure. May the example of their devotion inspire us that we may be taught to live by those who learn to die. And at the last, grant that we, being faithful to death, may receive with them the crown of life that never fades, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We come to the notices. Just to say, I'm not here next Sunday, and thanks in advance to Jim McKenzie, who will take the Sunday service for us as usual. The discussion group meets on Tuesday the 16th of November at 7 o'clock on the normal Zoom link. An initiative to try and help us get to know a little bit the churches round about with whom our ministry needs to be moving towards integrating. There's going to be a coffee evening at Davidson's Mains Cafe on Thursday the 9th of December from 7:30 till 9. And the idea is that we have six folk from every congregation attending so that there's a chance for people to get to know each other. And my expectation is that this won't be the only time we do this, but this is a beginning. So if anyone knows they're free on a Thursday evening and would like to be part of that, could you please let me or Amanda know, and we'll gather names and work out what to do if we get more than six. I just also wanted to let you know the Guild of Health is part of what inspires me about trying to do something about mental health in this area, and we have many groups supporting mental health using our building. They have an annual lecture, and the information about it is there. It's on the 24th at 7 p.m. I wondered if people might be asking about Christmas services, so I popped in the Christmas services. We will have normal midnight service at 11:30. We will have a Christmas Day service at 11 a.m. And on Sunday the 26th, the service will be 10:30 as normal. All of these will be in person in the sanctuary and available on Zoom, so you can join whichever way feels right for you. Many of you know we had Space to Remember the last Thursday and Sunday, and there's a memory tree at the back, and if people do want to write and to hang a heart on the tree on your way out, you're very welcome to do that. I'd also like to say lots of thank yous. Thank you to those who created the flowers. Thank you to Elizabeth for the displays and the flags. To Leslie for this very beautiful, let me bring it round to the back so people can see it, a Remembrance Day. And I think the guides have created something down here at the very centre.
They've done the poppies, and it's spot the purple poppies.
Purple, okay, thank you. Okay. And also I'd like to thank my brother Tim, without whom we wouldn't have been on Zoom a long time ago, who's here today. So thanks to everyone. Let's close our worship today with hymn 706, For the Healing of the Nations, hymn 706. Oh, and all these people who helped today. Thank you very much. Okay. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bring you peace. The blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you now and forevermore.